This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive.
Hello and welcome to the Fangamer Podcast, episode 30, in which we're going to talk about bad guys, masterminds, and other ways that you say villain and spell it correctly with an extra I in there from your favorite video games. And why they're your favorites. We're also going to talk about our huge product launch we just did of our Chrono Trigger inspired merchandise, which is pretty amazing. It's probably one of the biggest launches we've done since, gosh, I don't remember.
Maybe
it's been
since Awesomeness.
Since the Awesomeness combo pack, probably. We're also going to talk about some random video game news that we just really want to talk about, mostly because we haven't been playing any new games, but also because it's kind of it's fun to talk about people who have to renege on saying that video games can't be art, so we're going to call that out. Before that, though, in the show topic, let me introduce, as always, our cream of tweet, Liz. Liz, how you doing over there? I heard the weather in Chicago has been pretty crappy.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. I'm actually, I'm going, like, with the dog, I walk every day, but I'm going downtown later today, and I'm not looking forward to it, because it's going to be pretty disgusting, but fortunately, I'll spend most of my time on the train, which is also disgusting. The train?
Yeah.
I think it's air conditioning. I've never been hot air conditioned. I've never really been hot on them. I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well,
at least in the north side of the city. I don't know what goes on in the south.
Oh, I've never even been to the south side of the city, but I just know from Casey. That's a scary place.
Yeah,
okay.
That's where Casey lives. You don't want to go there.
Yeah. So, also introducing, first time to the podcast, my brother, Philip, is joining us. Philip, welcome to the show.
Hello and hello.
So, Philip, we're going to do the really quick rundown so people can get to know you, not just as my brother, but as what you may be involved with in the Fangamer community in the site. So, you do have a forum name.
I do. It's been a long time.
Can you still even log in with it?
I logged in a little while ago, actually.
Oh, what's your forum name?
I think I used to have two, actually.
Oh, well, let's... So
the
you have
original,
one.
Original, before... Starman.com, right?
Or Starman.net?
Darnet. I don't know. It was Pharaoh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just cool.
Okay.
And then, but now my current one is Canty.
Canti. And what is that from?
It's from my all-time favorite anime. FLCO.
Fooly Cooly. That is the one few of the animes that I can actually watch and actually enjoy, strangely enough.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's great entertainment.
I really like Fooly Cooly.
I thought that was really good. I know I was a big fan of Avatar The Last Airbender until the movie came out, and apparently the creators of Avatar, like, one of their big inspirations was Fooly Cooly, so.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to check that out then.
I'm gonna have to watch
it. It's a good show.
Like, it's only six episodes.
Yeah.
Not Avatar, but Fooly Cooly.
No,
yeah.
FLCO.
FSR.
Avatar, I think, is 60.
Yeah, it's long.
Let's see. What you done some stuff with the site before?
I used to submit some fan art here and there. I didn't do too many, but...
Yeah.
That was right when I was getting into Photoshop, the art thing.
Philip's got quite the illustrious art career, to be honest. Like, I mean, you've done a little bit
of
everything.
I've done it all. Like, when it comes to art,
he's done figurines like Camille.
I used to do sculpture.
Really?
I've done sketching, Photoshop, digital.
Yes.
Digital photography. Anything graphic design, I'm really good at.
Yeah, I think when he got to meet John when they came out to Portland,
I had a fangasm.
It was a fangasm.
It was a secret fangasm. I didn't say anything, but I was
so
excited to see John. But I was like, I can't be like a total nerd and be like, John, you're my hero.
Yeah.
Don't worry, John has enough people who do that to him.
The thing is, like, he gets that a lot, but even then, it still probably makes him very uncomfortable.
He's not a narcissist like me. If people did that to me, I'd be like, I am your hero. Cling to my underbelly. Let me drag you along to the world of success.
So, yeah.
That's why I don't have fans.
Yeah, and one day I'm hoping you'll end up doing a shirt design for us.
I
One day.
want to. I've got stuff going on.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's trying to figure out school
Trying to
and
figure out life.
trying to get
The
a
meaning and
possibly doing a graphic design degree here, which I know we definitely use. And we do a lot of contract artwork, so actually we'll talk about some of those guys later on. But let's just go right into our video game news weekend update. Liz, you had a topic of a lot of acclaim and craziness you wanted to bring up.
I did. Your little video chat with me froze. Whatever, you guys are both smiling. It looks good. We'll go with this. I wanted to talk about the fiat. There you go. The fiasco of the week, which is Blizzard's attempt at Real ID being integrated with the forums on Blizzard.com. For those of you not in the know, and I know if I say anything wrong, I'll be corrected over my shoulder by my editor, which is cool. But Blizzard has attempted in the past to create something called Real ID, which is where your real name, like my name, I will say it out loud, is Elizabeth Bowes, it would be connected to my username, Neopala. And so they set that up initially for like StarCraft 2 accounts so you could see your friends. Like I could see, oh, there's my dad, Mr. Bowes, and they're like I wouldn't know my dad's handle or something, but what they wanted to do is make it so that when you post on the Blizzard forums, you had to have your real name displayed as like the main name, not your character name. So in your case, Garrett, if you made a post, you would be under the name Garrett Rosa, and I would be Liz Bowes. And the idea was that this would cut down on trolling because people would be more accountable for their actions, although really it's motivated by like obviously trying to make it the next Farmville type thing where
Really?
they want WoW to be a big social network type thing where they want to bring in casuals and pull everybody together like
And if you know my
whoa.
first name, oh, I see.
And they want Facebook integration. Like, in the future, it's definitely going to be one of those things where, if you're familiar with the World of Warcraft Armory, where you type someone's username in on the Armory website, you can see all of their gear. They will probably want it to get to the point, they haven't said this, but it's kind of obvious, where you'll go on Facebook and your Armory profile will be linked to your real name's Facebook account automatically, and every time you do something in WoW, your Facebook will display it. There are a lot of problems with this. If you can imagine, I can't even rank them in an appropriate order because it's such a screwed up plan, but
Really, I mean, aside
the
from the privacy
that's
issues,
the first
I
thing
mean,
that
that's
comes
the
to mind.
huge, that's got to be number one, right? The
But
people
there's
who
so
don't
many
want.
facets to the privacy issue. Like, there's people who don't believe that what they do in their free time should be accessible to other people. Like, say you go on a job interview and your name's like Elizabeth Bowes. And
Oh,
they, like, my
and that.
resume looks great, and then they Google me and they say Elizabeth Bowes is Narasa on Mal'Ganis and hasn't upgraded her gloves since level
Or
56.
not just
Like,
that, she plays Horde and your manager happens to be Alliance. Or worse yet, can they see your playtime through this?
ooh,
'Cause that could definitely be a
I don't think they can see displayed playtime like yet.
Because it'd
I
be
don't
like,
know.
oh my gosh, Liz has spent this much of her life playing WoW.
But if you can see
Wow, I don't
gear
know.
and achievements, that's basically playtime. So yeah, that is the concern that
That's true.
employers see that and think, I don't want an employee who plays Warcraft because they're going to be like a basement dweller.
Well, but in theory, okay, Facebook has all kinds of privacy, settings that they're always changing. Wouldn't they be able to implement something like that into this so that
Oh yeah, of course they could, but they don't want to. They want it to just be this totally open system where you have nothing to hide. Like, why should you? Warcraft is a great game. This also, there are privacy issues on the forums, obviously, where there's people, like, say you do troll someone and they get mad at you. People do crazy stuff on the internet and they can take it offline. I mean, I think in the history of something awful, there have been, like, either probably like a dozen murders or suicides directly or indirectly. Like, there was a dude who asked how to buy a gun in one of the forums and then went out and shot three people for, like,
Wow.
yeah, I think he was like kind of messed up in the head and some kids were running through his pumpkin patch or something.
Say the
He
least.
went
But
crazy
doesn't
on
but
them.
something awful doesn't do your name though, right?
No,
So
it doesn't.
imagine, and that's a community where you would actually have to maybe go figure out who that person is. Do a
And
little background
that's
work.
a community of maybe 150,000 people. Warcraft has 10 million players. I don't know what percentage post on the forum, but enough of that, so it, like the higher the statistic gets, the higher the number of people, there's more likely to be like not cases.
Well, you know, the other problem though is because there are so many people, right? Imagine if Blizzard goes, well, we're only going to not do this if the majority of those people say it's a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it probably is just a vocal minority who is aware of it. And so you've got like 10 million people who'll be like, eh, I don't care.
Exactly. The same people who open up Farmville and Cafe yeah. World. Sling. Loves Cafe World.
We're talking to you, Aaron.
You are the problem, Aaron. Your privacy. Your
Cafe World.
Your cavalierness cooking, about privacy.
Cooking pizzas in real time.
Your
what the
instant
hell?
Instant time spices.
Okay, so.
And there's also the problem of, like, if you have a female sounding name, or you are a female, or if you have, like, a boy sounding name, Islamic, Mexican, like, any kind of non-white male aged 18 to 35 sounding names, you got troubles. So,
wow, wait, I don't know much about Farmville. So they have a similar form system then that has their name open? They want it to be like Farmville?
They want it to be more like Facebook in general, but they see these games that have all these casual players that the primary way they pick up users is through advertising to other Facebook. Every little thing that Sling has cooked in like the past 24 hours, and it's
you can block the application, right?
I do block those typically, but I don't block his because I love like coming up with really bad puns related to like what a piece of garbage he is. I love you, Aaron, by the way. You're the best. You can block those, but it's one of those things where, like, just when you block one, then your next friend decides to play Mafia Wars.
Yeah. Okay, so then what else is, like... So, obviously, there's the racist issues. There can be, you know, gender issues that you'd have to worry about. Gosh, I didn't really think about that. And I guess this is probably the first time they're doing something like this, right? Like, they're doing a foreign name is a real name? Okay. Well,
No, this is for the podcast.
Breaking news, this just in, to Liz's desk, written on a piece of paper.
I got a note from my editor over there who says, in order to find John Connor's mom, the Terminator killed every other Sarah Connor. And then he tapped his head and said, think about it. And now that I realize it's, if your name is Sarah Connor and you play on the Warcraft forums, you are likely to be killed by the Terminator.
Oh, no.
And it's written in his cute little handwriting. It's like a little boy's Christmas list.
Is there a little smiley face on it too at the end?
No.
Oh, so there's another reason that you shouldn't, that you should watch out for Skynet coming to kill you. All right, because he's a really private guy. He doesn't want his business being out there.
Yeah, his Terminator related business. You know, he wouldn't have had that incredibly brilliant insight had I not put on Terminator, the original one, the other day and just laid down and be like, I'm gonna watch this. So, but yeah, right. In summary, there's a lot of problems with real ID, not the least of which being the Terminator.
Well, that is, I don't know, I'm so glad I'm out of the WoW world and I don't care that much about it. Mm-hmm. So, let's move on. I think Philip had a more interesting tidbit than I did about...
Just to close that up, Blizzard did back down on it for the moment.
Oh, so they're not going
to
do it?
They're not going to do it, but they would like to certainly do something like it in the future, and they're still going to do it, I think, for cross-realm chatting, where if you are on Mal'Ganis and you chat with someone on Feathermoon, your real name does display.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know how that's going to mess up the role-playing world. Like, how am I supposed to be a dwarf drunk?
People know my name.
Yeah. If they know I'm not really Scottish.
Yeah. Okay, so you were going to bring up Mr. Ebert reneging on his... Well, what is it he originally said?
So originally it was the big war that games can't be art. And this is a big issue because he said it. This is his accusation. He's like,
no, he games didn't say it. He can't talk anymore.
He wrote it on his blog, which is pretty well
followed.
He blogged
it, which is just as important. So there's huge controversy, and then I've been actually following it for a while because game art, and it's a big deal.
It's important to you because
art is part of
my
life.
It's important to a lot of people in our community.
It is.
And he got flamed down pretty quick, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Reading through the comments and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No one was
happy
about that.
I remember reading a lot of the 1UP guys. They were going off on it for a lot. Just pretty much any major video game journalist group picked it up and pretty much had a pretty negative opinion on what he had to say. But That was quite a long time ago that you made that opinion, right?
Yeah, like it was 3 years ago or so. He said he actually read through like all the hate mail he got, and he was like, yeah. And then he finally came to admit, you know, games might be art one day. Yeah,
so this goes to show you, kids, if you
if they're not already,
if you flame the crap out of someone online for long enough, they'll change their
they'll
mind.
They'll concede. Yeah, it's true. You can get the strongest man to concede. Probably.
So if their real name is displayed, you can go kill them.
Yeah.
So he just says that they could possibly be art, but
he hasn't seen an example.
Yeah, obviously. He hasn't played Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, it sounded like he played any of the games he talked about either.
He probably just played, like, all of the original NES tie-in games with movies. Like, I played the original Back to the Future, and I don't believe games could be hard.
Oh, man, Indiana Jones. He played that E.T. game I played. Oh, man, how do you guess? Seriously, art? No.
No.
Yeah, or he just picked a bunch of N64 shovelware. Like, I played Glover, and I did not find the intrinsic artistic value of this.
Yeah, so he reneges on that. I think, I don't know, my whole opinion on it was, why do we care what he thinks? Really?
Well, yeah.
Because he's a prominent critic of film who has...
But a film.
He was, anyway. I guess he still sort of is.
Right, but a film. I guess when it comes to, like...
Yeah.
I guess that's the other downside, is that video game, in terms of having a criticism that is as in-depth as literary or film criticism, is not as mature yet. Mm-hmm. So you don't have an equivalent of Ebert, so to speak, out there on the video game side as a video game journalist or critic who has that same sort of integrity, who we would care about their opinion. At least
there aren't really any video game reviewers with integrity. That's the problem. The Penny Arcade guys are very good, actually. I would throw my hat into the ring to say they're very talented. Right.
No, I mean, I think anyone who has to review games, that's a tough bag. And I think that... I just think that right now, like, and you ask anyone who has to review games, they'll talk about this as being their complaint as well, that it's a product review, you know? It's not a... like a review of like in terms of like how you review a literary, you know, work film. It's was the sound really cool, or, you know, and it's one of those places where how do we strike a new video games criticism? And there's all kinds of stuff on it, which I won't want to get into too much, but that's my whole opinion, was until video game journalism and criticism establishes itself close to the same level as it does with film, I don't care what he has to say, because he hasn't done the work to do that, so I don't have a valid opinion in it, but...
It's true.
I was going to bring up real briefly, Dragon Quest, the new one, I think it's 9, is coming out, which is apparently, oh my gosh, you know, Japan, this thing sold millions of copies within the first day. I've never played any of the Dragon Quest games, but I've been reading through GameSpy, which is a publication that Jeremy Parrish puts together with a lot of the different kind of people you see who write stuff on 1UP and do contract work for them. Mm-hmm. He was talking about, or I forget exactly who, I was actually talking to Justin Haywald himself, and he was saying that, you know, a lot of the things that I was saying I dislike about Final Fantasy are things that Dragon Quest has not done and has made it really an RPG that's still fun to play, where the story still kind of comes in and makes sense. The leveling up system, the you can actually like see the armor you put on, your money matters, like all the things that like were what made the game fun in the beginning that kind of devolved into what the current Final Fantasy was, just a roller coaster of prettiness. This was supposed to really be a claiming of those things back, and so he was really excited about it. He's like, if you're looking for an RPG that's a little more old school and still has a lot of good stuff, he was suggesting that. So I'm really excited. I think I'm going to pick it up on his recommendation. And that's supposed to come out today, which is Sunday.
July 11th, yeah. I'm just looking at the wiki page for it right now to make sure I don't misspeak. I always forget Dragon Quest is done by the same guy who did Chrono Trigger and DBZ.
Right, and I've been actually playing through Chrono Trigger at the Fan Fest,
and
still
I've been watching through DBZ.
And yes. Chrono Trigger, I have to say, like, it is really, man, it's good. It's really good.
It is a great game.
Like, I had a hard time at the beginning because it was a little slow, a little weird, yeah. But the world that they're crafting and the bosses that you fight, and it's just, it's really quite this tapestry, and there's layers of things happening, and I really like it. So anyone who's involved with that, I think it's probably going to be a good time. And then this is coming out on DS, and I think it might be I'm not going to say, I don't know. But it should be a good time. I'm going to go try and pick up today, maybe go trade in some games at Pink Gorilla and pick it up there. Yeah. So So that's it for our video game news segment. We're going to take a short break here, and we're going to get into Fangamer news. All right, Fangamer News. This will be a big segment, folks, because it's Friday night, right? Friday night, we just had a huge product launch of a bunch of Chrono Trigger-inspired merchandise to kind of go along with the Chrono Trigger Fan Fest right now. So hopefully everyone's really hyped up on Chrono Trigger and is going to be super excited about this stuff, because we've been talking about a lot of these things for quite a while. The first one I'm going to talk about is the Gate keychain.
Has been in like 6 months, right?
I mean, I remember doing the design for that guy and helping John out with that back in the winter. Mm-hmm. And pricing for that is $14. It is double-sided, so the design is on both sides. And this is the item that John's wife, Sabrina, said, John, this is the coolest thing you have ever designed out of all the stuff that he has designed. It's really heavy. It's got a good, well-made feel to it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I just like that we take something like, because now I'm playing Chrono Trigger, you see the gate key in the game is this little, like, asterisk that she holds up.
It looks like a little Sailor Moon transformation pen.
Right. Yeah. And then you take it and then really extrapolate on it, and it's like, that's my favorite kind of stuff we do at Fangamer, when you take something that was like, that's a really cool item, and then just really pretty it up and make it its own
thing.
Yeah,
I like that a lot, too.
So, Gate Keychain is out. The other really cool thing is the Time Wing Schematics poster, which is $18. The making of this poster is really cool, but this is it's kind of like in the Leonardo da Vinci style of how he would do like these,
like a vintage old look.
A vintage look of like, what is it, the human...
Turian Man,
where like he has his arms out at his side and legs. And it has that kind of style where it's like...
Vitruvian, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So it's kind of in that style and the way they made it, which is pretty cool. And hopefully I'm not messing up who did each part, but the overall process...
We'll hear about it if we do.
Yeah, we'll hear about it if it's wrong. Is that it started off actually as a computer drawing that John did. So it was like a schematic. And then I think they handed it off to Camille, who actually kind of did art over the top of it. So she did drawing over to give it that kind of Leonardo da Vinci style.
Just an artistic style. Right?
Yeah, and then the actual lettering that you see that's really beautiful is John's wife, Sabrina. She actually is the one who wrote out the actual text.
Oh, wow.
And then the actual words, the flair, the formulas and all that, is a lot of Reed's doing and then a lot of other people who help. I think Kevin and just different people who have Chrono Trigger knowledge. We went to them. And they put all kinds of cool stuff and then the design. So it's really a very collaborative work and I'll be honest, I'm not a big poster fan. Like, I don't own that many posters. I did in college, but I feel like I've grown as I've gotten older. This is something really cool. Like, I'll probably pick up this poster because I'll put in a frame.
Exactly. When you're out of college, it has to go in a frame.
It has to be in a frame.
Posters
can't just be on the wall.
Oh, I'm still good then.
Yeah. You're still in college. You'll be fine. You can just put it up, and just lay it on the coffee table.
But then after 30, you have to burn it. No more.
So when you buy it, you can make one, right? I mean, it's schematic.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make one, too.
Yeah.
It's true to detail.
Actually, the funny thing is, like, all the stuff, Garrett, you were just saying about the people who designed it, like, that's all BS, because this is actually something we found from Da Vinci, that like the paperwork for his design of the epoch, like really,
it was in the Da Vinci Code.
Your archaeologist team came out.
We decoded it. We have the Fangamer archaeologist team out there. They took care of it.
We had to cover it up, and so that's the lies and the John and the Sabrina, all nonsense. It's Da Vinci through and through.
All right, so Liz, why don't you talk about Magi's Tower shirt, which people actually, they voted on this quite a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Magi's Tower has been in the running for a while. The Magi's Tower is reminiscent, we shall say, of the Magus's Tower or Castle from Chrono Trigger, which is like this big, really tall tower that's kind of almost like Arabic looking with like the dome tops and different kind of cool
that
tower
sort of
looking things. Yeah, that sort of architecture. And it is filled with lots of enemies and has a very cool dragon on top. So the reimagining of this shirt was done by Omnitarian. Very cool dude. He's done some shirts for us in the past. We always love having his work.
He's been on the podcast. He was on our art and video games podcast, Marty.
Oh, was he? God, we've done too many.
this is number 30, Liz.
Is it really? We should burn that, too.
Yeah, you're the only one who's been here. You're the one who's been here for the majority of them, so you're the veteran.
That's true. That's why I don't remember any of them anymore. But yeah, Omnitarian designed this shirt, the Magi's Tower. It comes in two colors. One of them we are calling Midnight, which is black with, like, it looks to be like a reddish pink ink. I haven't seen a picture of it actually charged on the shirt, or discharged, I should say. And that is available in unisex and women's. And the other color we're calling Dusk, which is like a blackwa, which is a combination of black and aqua. Ah, yeah. We had a long debate about how to spell blackwa, so we put some thought into it.
Good times.
Yeah, it's BLAQUA for the record. And Blackwa is an American Apparel 50-50 shirt, which means it's 50% cotton, 50% polyester. They are light, they are breathable, they're the nicest shirts I've ever owned. Not to disparage the other shirts we use, but I wish we could do everything in the 50-50. Unfortunately, the color range is just a little limited.
Well, right now, the only other 50-50 we have is the Special Forces gray, right?
Mm-hmm. I thought we were doing Chronometer in 50-50, the brown one, but it turns out we didn't, and that, like,
I really want to get the 50-50 because all I hear about from everyone in the office is, oh gosh, this shirt feels so good.
I can't find my Special Forces shirt. Like, I want to take my own life. It's so sad.
I'm sure you can probably get another one. I don't think we're sold out.
No, I know we're not sold out. It's just like, it's here somewhere from the move. Everything got all messed up. The Blackwa shirt is only unisex, for the record.
Okay.
So, if you are a woman and you like Fangamer stuff and you like it to fit snugly around the hips and waist, you'll want to go with Midnight. What else do we have?
Talk about the Fiendlord pinset?
The Fiendlord pinset. Let me pull up the little page here. The Fiendlord pinset, if I am correct, and I believe I am, was designed as kind of a melding of the minds between John Kay and Omnitarian.
Yeah.
And it consists of four pins. The first is a Heroes medal, or heroes like hero medal type thing that has a picture of a helmet, and then it says hero and protector of the land, or hero and protector of the land. It's in this cool font where it's hard to read at first glance, but then you glance like really kind of focus.
You know? It's a Greek style,
yeah.
And it also says wielder of the Massamoon, which is very cool. There is another pin that says, it's just labeled with Ribbit. It doesn't do anything, it just says Ribbit, but it is like Frog's face, kind of similar to that. We have a glow-in-the-dark pin that, let's see, what are we calling it? Dark matter pin, yeah, which is Magus's final attack, the 20 MP attack, for those keeping score, is dark matter, which makes like all these cool black and white starfield triangles, like very screensaver-esque, very fancy.
Very, what's that, your favorite little anime there? Very,
Full Metal? Oh, it does. It looks like a transmutation circle.
I don't even like watched half an episode.
Yeah,
like,
I'm surprised you knew that.
On the ground.
Yeah. And the last pin is a wildcard design, which has three of Magus's henchmen, which in the game are known as Slash, Flea, and Ozzy, and we have named the pins Sabbath, Rose, and Chili, and I was staring at them all this morning thinking, why did we name them that? That's so stupid.
But then
I realized, like, Charlie pointed it out to me, it's for Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ozzy,
Slash,
awesome.
And Flea.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you get one of those randomly with your pin set, so...
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Fiendlord pin set. I'll just talk about Chronometer reprint finally came out. So we've got, that's $20. The new color available is brown.
Mm-hmm. Antiquity is what we're calling it.
Antiquity. And we have restocked all the sizes, all the colors we had before. And women's sizes is available for all three colors. So, yeah. We checked this earlier.
Actually, the brown is saying on the image unisex only, but when I go to order it, it looks like, if I go to Antiquity Brown Medium, it looks like I can add it to the cart, so it's something we'll clarify, definitely, but at the, like, it looks like you can put it in your basket, which what I would say would trump what the image says. But we will check.
Yeah, we'll probably need to update the store then to figure out which one of those is true.
Correct, yeah.
I'm hoping that it's the women's sizes for all, because I think the more we do women's sizes, the bigger our women fan base grows in terms of loving us, because Jen, the majority of the shirts she owns now for t-shirts are all Fangamer, and it's because she can get women's sizes. So.
Yeah, I put up the Magi's Tower shirt. Within 5 minutes, I got a tweet from somebody saying, such a bummer you don't have black one, women's sizes. And I said, I would agree with you, but I think that was American Apparel who didn't make that in women's. We would have done it.
So, it's finally out there. We've been hinting at it for months.
Eternity.
A long time. The Avarice figure that Camille's done, which is a pre-order figure, which means you can get one, right?
You can absolutely get one.
You can get one. This is huge. It's selling for $66. It'll actually ship in late September. And actually, I think we might have said this, but I'm going to just say it again. All this stuff is pre-order right now, so it won't come out until late August, and then the Avarice figure itself will be coming out in late September. But this thing is, I've been saying, is probably one of the most amazingly detailed things that Camille has put together and actually sold at the store.
It's like, to call it something like fan-made would be... like, so beneath it. It's nicer than figure. Like, there's a line of Chrono Trigger figures coming out that's like a set of four with characters in a different diorama. This thing kicks the crap out of all four of them. No joke.
It's, I mean, just the paintwork, just the kind of, with that kind of bronzed look to it.
Oh, and the design is so intricate. Like, if you look, there's moth wings on the back, and there's, like, little detailed veins. I have no idea how she did it.
So, I mean, the fact that you can pre-order and you can actually have one is huge, because every time any sort of figurine goes up, it just goes out the door so quickly. So, and I believe the reason this is so is because we've actually, I think we hinted at this a long, long time ago, about actually having a third-party vendor that Camille can work with, so that they do some of the bulk work on just casting the figures. So she builds the actual mold, and then they do the casting for her, which saves her tons of time, so that she can then go and hand-paint every single one of these. So... there's still tons of, you know, hand detail done to each one. And
yeah, every one is going to be unique in the sense that it's all been done by, like, an individual hand when it comes to painting.
By Camille herself. So, I usually don't buy the figurines because I know that other people out there who aren't privy to things like this should have them before me. But because this is, man, I'm probably going to hit me one of these. That's so awesome. So that's
Kevin already did, so the rest of us can.
Yeah, I saw Kevin did it. Okay, he went out there and ordered one, so I will too. So
he sets the trend.
Yeah. Kevin's a trendsetter. And Kevin will be at our PAX booth for any ladies out there who want to meet up with Kevin.
Booth babe.
He's going to be one of our booth babes, although I think he prefers the term greeter, but we all know he's just a big man hunk at the booth.
That's
so
true.
You're at PAX East, so you got to see it firsthand. Also, combo pack. People love combo packs, and for this we have the CT FanFest combo pack, which if you get one shirt in the combo pack is $50, and if you get two shirts, it's $67. It's our biggest discount yet, so usually if you buy everything individually, it's, you know, at full price. The combo pack's a little bit cheaper. This time it's actually a 12% discount over buying items individually. And in the pack you get the Gate keychain, the Timewing Schematics poster, and then depending on the shirt you choose, either Magi's Tower or Chronometer, right?
Or both.
Both.
Both ups the price a little bit.
Fiend Lord pin set. So that is probably our most jam-packed combo pack after the awesomeness, which even that I think only had at most
four?
A yo-yo, a shirt.
A hat and pins.
And a pin set. It's only four. I mean, yeah, so this is a lot of stuff and an amazing savings if you ask me, because... Man, that Gate key is a steal at its price right now. So,
yeah, it is.
One other thing to note is that the CT merch always ships with one random CT-inspired sticker. So from the sticker pack, you can get one of those RAM stickers packed in for free. And there will be a Chrono Trigger-themed packing slip, which is always hand-done original art. So for all those folks with your packing slips you get, you should definitely scan them, put them up so people can see what you got.
Mm-hmm.
And then... this hot off the presses. So get your, if you haven't already gotten a Twitter account at this point after the contest, you really should, because
you messed up.
You missed out on the contest, which Liz is going to talk about here in a moment. But the new plushies have come back in. They are not in the store yet, but they have arrived at the offices. So that means any day now, the plushies could be in the store and could sell out in about 30 to 45 minutes. So if you want one, this is your second chance at them, and your last for probably a long time. Get a Twitter account. That if I was going to suggest one way to do it, Twitter, because we will put that on there as soon as it's up. You can always just check the store RSS feed, the main store site, but Twitter is guaranteed. First come, first serve, you will know. But Liz, talk more about Twitter and our Twitter contest we just did and how it went.
I will. Last week, we reached 1,000 followers on Twitter, which was a big deal for us, and a big deal for me, because when I started with you guys like 6 or 7 months ago, I think we had like 450 or thereabouts, so...
Yeah, because I remember trying to follow them by hand, and it took me a long, long time, and I was like, my gosh, we have so many followers, and I thought that was a lot. So, yeah, it was around 400.
Yeah, so we decided to celebrate that number by doing a contest where... We took one of Camille's Nest figurines, which so far, I don't think she's given out any for anything. So, we took a Nest figurine, took a picture of it, and said, retweet this picture to have your name automatically entered in a drawing to win the figure. And we had an overwhelmingly good response. We had 720,
whoa,
I believe. So, that's...
Wow. Yeah. So that's because it was all unique entries. We had a way to filter them out. So holy crap.
700 unique entries. And Friday night for the Chrono Trigger Fan Fest, after the contest had been going for a week, we announced the winner, who was, I believe, Kaopyth or Kyopyth, whose real name on Twitter is apparently Captain Fancy Pants, but I find that suspect.
That's a pretty awesome Twitter name, though.
It is. It's a good
name.
Wonder
if you send it to Jonathan Colton and he likes that Fancy Pants song, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Possibly. You could always ask. He's active on the Fan Gamer Twitter.
Oh, well, maybe he should listen to our podcast, and then he can send us an email. Hey, we got an email, by the way. Did you see that? I CC'd you on my response. We actually got an email from, I forgot their name, but I'm going to go look it up while we do this. So, okay, anyway, on with the Twitter contest. It went really well.
Mm-hmm. And it went great. Not only did we get the 700 entries, we got 300 more followers within the week. So we're now up to 1,308 followers.
So I think the plan is we get back up to 100 or 1,000 again. Mm-hmm. We're going to probably try and do something similar, right?
Actually, the plan, I believe, is we would like
to do Facebook.
Exactly.
Right.
We'd like to do a similar contest on Facebook. And I'm trying to load the Facebook page now to see how many followers we have. Fan Gamer. 782 people like Fan Gamer. So if we can bring that up to 1,000.
Then we'll do something similar there with some sort of giveaway like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be good times. I was going to say it was Brad. Brad, I don't want to say your last name because I don't know if you want me to. And I forget what your forum name is. You know, put in here. Brad sent us an email with a really good idea for a show topic that we will actually probably do next week, actually.
Wasn't it on
it's
gaming
real
journalism or something?
On video game magazines.
That's what it was.
That'll be a good time because I have a couple back there that they only had two runs. That was a really good magazine.
I had Nintendo Power for a long time, so we'll definitely talk.
Yeah, that should be a good time. So the tour contest went well. I think that's about it for Fan Gamer News right now. The CT Fan Fest still continues on. My point is going to be next Friday. Yours was just last Friday. Brian's Saturday, so we're into the heyday. If you want to watch one of the Fan Gamer folks themselves broadcast,
and their dog.
Yeah, we plan, if anything goes wrong for ours, we're just going to hold our dog up in front of the monitor so people can see her and just go, oh, how cute.
Corgi cam.
All right, so let's wrap up here, and we'll move on to the show topic of villains in video games. topic time. What are your favorite video game villains and why? So I think we're going to start with us going through what are some of our favorite games of their villains, and then that'll hopefully help us figure out what we think makes a good villain. I'll let Philip, since you're our guest, start off. What is one of your favorite games with a good villain to it?
One of my favorite games, and I literally played this game like 13 times.
13?
Like, they have counts on it. Like,
oh, it tells you how many?
Yeah, it was 13. It was Resident Evil 4.
Wow.
I got it.
Which version?
The original version for GameCube.
For GameCube.
Did it have a New Game Plus option or something? You just straight up did 13 new games.
Once you beat it, you can play it over and keep like your inventory and your money. Okay.
So it does essentially have New Game
but
Plus.
But after like three, there's really no point. Yeah. After one, there's really no point.
Did you play it on the Wii? Because I have it for Wii, and
I don't want to say this, but I have to. I bought it for every port.
What?
I
have it for PC, I have it for Wii, and GameCube.
Wait, didn't it come out for PlayStation?
And PlayStation 2.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I don't know why, because I played it so many times.
That's impressive. I haven't played through most Resident Evils. This one I got the furthest through that I did of any of them on the Wii. I really enjoyed it, and I saw you play it. I'm like, this is a really good game, but...
It was revolutionary, to say the least.
So what's the bad guy from this game?
The bad guy that makes me quiver with fear is literally... his name's Sadler. And I actually had a history teacher whose name's Sadler. And
is that why?
It was a weird vibe. It's like, oh, okay, this might turn into a zombie apocalypse.
So describe what this guy's like. What kind of villain is he?
He's just like with the Star Wars Empire guy. The Emperor.
The Emperor.
He's got that weird, old, creepy man look. And that's always scary.
Pale white skin look.
And then... he's got, like, this trench coat on, and you don't really know anything about him the whole time, and you're kind of reading the memos.
Very mysterious, and you're learning
all
through
of
him.
A sudden, and epic spoilers are going to
okay, spoiler, if you haven't played Resident Evil 4, skip ahead about 30 seconds.
There's this scene where this weird scorpion table just, like, shoots out of him, and he kills a guy with it, and you're like, what was that? It comes, like, out of, like, his lower region. And he just stabs a guy, and you're like, wow.
With a scorpion.
That boss fight, you're just like, so that's going to be crazy when you get to it. I cannot wait. I got really excited for stuff like that. But.
So it's the mysteriousness.
Yeah, he's very like, you don't really know what's happening.
And why he's evil, but you do know all of a sudden he's got a scorpion tail. So his mom was a scorpion.
Yeah, he was. He's half scorpion, you know.
All right.
No big deal.
In terms of any actual fights with him, another reason he's fun?
Yeah, it was a pretty epic boss fight at the end. I mean, like all Resident Evil games are pretty intense. I died quite a few times, but I'm not very good at games. So.
All right. So Resident Evil 4 Sadler, I'm going to bring up Final Fantasy X, because again, we've talked about it many times in the cast. I'm a big fan of Final Fantasy X.
Yes.
But I think that it's one of the Final Fantasies that did a really good job of bringing together story and characters. I mean, there's always going to be problems with how they portray certain characters, like Tidus is this weird go-lucky kind of kid, but they still bring out his character in a way that it's still good times. He actually has a... his dad and the whole vibe between his dad.
No,
left.
Dad, you shut up.
Yeah, but I was gonna say that Sin, the actual boss, I think, because the reason I really liked it is that it becomes a part of the world's culture and the way the world is built in this game. Because Sin comes and like clears the lands and kills all these people every. So many years, so they've created this.
Well, actually, it's totally random. That's the thing. Is like,
oh, really?
I thought it was traditional.
Always...
No, I think it's maybe random.
Really?
No, they're okay. I'll explain it to you. There's a.
The lore says.
The lore says that Sin kind of comes and goes on its own schedule until you kill it or whatever. Like you attempt to destroy it with the Grand Summoning. And then it kind of goes into hibernation, really. It's just building up a new shell around a new summon.
What do they call it? The calm, and that lasts for a certain amount of time,
right?
It's
like a year.
It changes. Sometimes it can be 100 years. Sometimes I think it can be 17. Sometimes it can come back very quickly. So it's one of those things where you're always kind of like, it's very calm, but how long is this going to last?
Yeah, so they're always trying to find that new summoner to go on their... the journey or whatever they call it, their pilgrimage or whatever. I just liked how the enemy was woven into the story in a way that really made sense at a world level. Like, yeah, everyone understood. Because a lot of the times the Final Fantasy bosses, like 8, change with every disc, and you're really left lost on what's happening. And even in 10, that kind of changes a little bit. You find out a little bit more about who's really in control. And
my dad loved me all along.
Right, but it's probably one that keeps that theme the same throughout. And like with, you know, you're saying with Sadler, it's pretty mysterious at the beginning. You're learning about what this guy is through people you talk to and the culture of this world. And as the game progresses, you really start finding out, oh, wow, this is this big, bad evil.
Yeah.
And then there's big, you know, I'm not going to talk about the spoilers, but things at the end talking about who Sin really is.
No.
And it has a big, you know, M. Night Shyamalan twists at the end.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's funny you brought that up, because I was just going to say, the one thing I think they did really well with Sin in the beginning of the game is Sin is so large, but they never show you all of what it looks like. You just get kind of camera angles on it. And it's one of those things where, like, in the movie Signs, you don't see the aliens for the whole movie, and then when you see them, inevitably they're going to be dumb, as they are. So with Sin, it's one of those things where they did a great job of never really showing you, like, this is what Sin looks like from 500 yards away in a full body profile stacked for showing.
Yeah. Yeah, so Sin,
it was great. It was like, it has a real world effect, though, on people, because there's like real world evil.
Right.
It has a good deeper meaning to it.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of Final Fantasy games, they don't really know who the bad guy is. Like, random kid off the street doesn't really care about it. So they did a good job of driving that plot home. Liz, what's one of your favorite video game villains?
My favorite video game villains are, in general, everybody from the Metal Gear games. I have, my heart beats for Metal Gear. I have written here in the show book that I like Psycho Mantis a lot, which is one of the cool fights. Yeah.
It is.
If, for those of you who don't know, Psycho Mantis...
Yeah, you gotta talk about it, because that's such a cool fight.
It's so weird.
Psycho Mantis is a dude who's, like, real gaunt, skinny-looking guy who you never see his face because he always has a gas mask on, and he's got, like, the full-body kind of, like, leather-wear Boys Town ensemble, which is interesting and very neat. And it's creepy because he's this psychic who wears the mask to kind of contain his powers, and so the way they demonstrate his psychic abilities is by having him kind of break the fourth wall with the viewer, where the first thing he'll do is he'll read your memory card to see what other games you've played, and then he'll be like, oh, I see you've been playing Resident Evil 4, and I see you really liked Final Fantasy X, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't
such a...
But yeah.
Oh, yeah, it really... But it did that sort of thing, like, where... As a kid, you're like, oh my gosh,
how
did he get
doing it at first?
Yeah, and then what else does he do? He says,
put your controller on the table, and I'll show you the real scope of my power, and then your controller vibrates.
Well, but this it goes a direction. He'll say, it'll go left.
I'm going to move your controller left, and then it vibrates.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, like, I don't know how they do the actual vibration. They can do it so that it shakes itself to the left or to the right.
I think it just vibrates on one side.
Yeah, one side. So,
he comes back for a brief appearance, spoiler, in Guns of the Patriots, and the PS3, for those of you who kind of remember, had, I believe, two controllers. I don't remember which came first, but there's the six-axis, and then I think they kind of brought back the DualShock after there was some lawsuit issues where, the long and short of it, one of them has a rumble and one of them doesn't.
Oh.
And so
I have one of each.
Psycho Mantis, if you have the one without the rumble, will acknowledge it. He'll be like, curses, the six-axis! But if you have the DualShock, it'll start to rumble, and he'll be like, yes, they brought the DualShock back.
That's great.
Oh, that is pretty funny.
See, yeah, that cracked me up. I was happy to have a vibrating controller for that.
I really need to play through all the Metal Gears. I played through half of most of them.
I played through all of them except for the new ones.
I haven't played through the one everyone loves. I haven't played through Snake Eater. I got the brand new one and played that one for about an hour and just kind of quit.
Four?
Yeah, it's from PlayStation 3. I need to do
the
that
PSP
eventually.
Ones I don't really get in.
Four was okay. Four suffered too much. I think the way it was broken into chapters, it was a little awkward. But
watching a movie, though.
Yeah, well, that's the most of them. Okay, so the next one, I think me and Phil both wanted to bring up, because from the forum thread, Avenger 339 brings up Metroid Fusion, and he liked the Yakuza X fight, which is like this spider mech, which is, I think, is a really painful fight. But
it's terrible.
It's a really fight, but they're...
It's so
maybe that's what they're saying. It's a good villain because it makes you so mad.
It doesn't have much character, but it's like It's one of those trial and error fights.
Right, but the one we were both going to bring up from Metroid Fusion was Samus X, I think is what they call it, which is you literally fight yourself. And you
superpowered yourself.
And the version of you is like, wow, you thought you were good at Metroid. Apparently a computer version playing Metroid is way better than you're ever going to be, and he's going to kick your ass left and right.
Yeah, they don't even give you the option to fight because it's so hard. You have to run.
Yeah, you just run from them throughout the majority of the game. Well, you do fight him eventually, right?
No, not until the end.
The very end. And at that point, it's still super hard.
Yeah, I love that.
So that's kind of a really cool video game villain because it's... I mean, because at first up in Metroid, the whole premise is that you're getting all your items as you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So until you're even powered up, this guy is just the most scary being that has ever come to fruition.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, it's all linear, but it feels random.
Right.
Like when Samus X comes to fight you, like, you'll just be walking along, all of a sudden, you hear it, or like, it just busts through the wall.
Yeah, you just happen
just
to
chase
be...
you down.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go pick this energy capsule. Bam!
It's like a...
X. Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah. And then he's got ultimate weakness.
Oh. What is the freeze?
Because you're weak to ice.
Right, because you have the whole Metroid infusion. They have an ice beam, and they just rock your world with that ice. So that was a really just smart fight to me, because first up, it takes, like, the evil within and incarnates it, and then it does this whole, like, you know, Metroid is all about getting all the items. They have all your stuff, so you're on equal footing in theory. So it's all about skill. Who is a better player?
Who's better?
But the other downside is that you've never fought a boss like that. All the bosses are like a certain mechanic, right? You've never fought someone who's literally like another Samus.
Or humanoid. I mean,
yeah, or a humanoid sort of boss. So that one's a really clever one. I was going to bring up Beyond Good and Evil just because, for me, this is another facet of what I think is a cool villain. Because in Beyond Good and Evil, the bad guy is like the government. It's like the man that's oppressing
man
the town people. And I think anytime a game can incorporate whatever the evil entity is into that world so that all the characters are in it, I think it makes for a much more engrossing narrative than you get out of games where it's just beat the last boss because he's evil and he hates you, like a Bowser sort of situation. So that one. So Liz, Chrono Trigger. Bosses in Chrono Trigger. But, what are some of your favorites?
I always really liked Queen Zeal as a character, like, when I was a lot younger. She's not particularly the deepest character, like, you don't ever really get in her head to see her motivations and see that she has, like, any compelling reasoning behind her, but she's just one of those characters that's, like, menacingly evil and cool and looks good while doing it. And she's... excuse me. She is kind of de facto in control of the Mammoth Machine, which... product, placement, tie-in, we just made the figure of, but the Mammon Machine channels all of the power of Lavos and makes it, like, makes it something that can be processed by human beings for use, like an oil refinery of evil.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just tying this in on multiple fronts. We might just quit the podcast on that note. We're out. That was good.
Mm-hmm. And I always found Zeal really cool. And there's some... this is just a little detail, but there's a fight with her at the end of the game where you just fight her face and her hands. Like, Chrono Trigger really suffered from the idea that to have a boss, it had to have two limbs and something to, like, a body. That's pretty much every boss in the game, unfortunately. But something about the attacks she used. Like, she used magic, but it was different spells than what you had, and some of them had really cool sound effects that I always really liked. And when I played it on the DS, they weren't as good because the sound was so tinny, and I was like, no, my Skygate sound effect was favorite.
Well, the other cool thing from Zeal, though, is, like, that whole time period that she's in, like, the atmosphere they set for that
baller.
Whole...
baller. There's never been a better area in a video
especially
game
from
ever.
The way the game transitions from Stone Age to... mm-hmm. How is this in the past, yet everything is freaking futuristic? They're like, what's going on? And you explore that world and the really cool architecture they have for the buildings, and it sets a really good background to really support that character. So that's probably another thing that I guess we're kind of coming along themes here, is that a really good villain to us really has to have a world that supports them, that everyone wants them dead, or the world itself kind of bends around their will.
Or they can move your controller.
Or they have a really cool gimmick. Or they dress really snazzy.
Yeah, they're dressed like a gimp. It's cool.
They have suits. So what else? You had another one, Liz.
I did have another one. Speaking of dressing really snazzy, my all-time favorite villain is so stupid, but it is King K. Rool from the Donkey Kong Country series. In the first game, he was a little uninspired, not too interesting. He was just a big gator king with a little crown on his head, and he has one bulging eye, like, that's all popped out and veiny. Like, he got so angry one time, it just busted out of his skull. And at the end of that game, you knock him off of his ship, and it's like, oh, you killed him, or did you, wink? Because in the next game, he comes back as a pirate and looks ridiculous with this big, like, goofy musket that is a vacuum, and he has, like, a pirate coat and a hat, and you think, how did he switch professions so quickly? He seems to have fallen right into pirate. Night school, yeah. He went to University of Phoenix Online. And apparently, he goes to University of Phoenix yet again after you defeat him as a pirate and becomes a scientist. So I guess he went through their grad program, because now he's building robots.
Yeah.
He's got, like, three bachelors.
He's a well-accredited boss.
Yeah, he was a triple major. He minored in, like, Greek history.
I don't know how we were going to incorporate this into the show, but we have to, because we were talking about, Philip was asking about Pokemon.
Yeah, and what villain, like, Pokemon there are.
Well, Gary is kind of meh, and Meowth is kind of and then I think we're saying, well, Pokemon themselves are bad, and then I think Matt, as he walked by, quoted, there are no bad Pokemon. There's only bad Pokemon trainers.
It's true. We were all like,
quote. Yeah, that was... It's true.
So just in passing, he dropped that nugget of wisdom.
So, Liz, what do you think? What makes a good villain thus far?
I think what you were saying about having the world around the game make sense is a really good point. I hadn't really thought about that, but when you look at games, like... One of the dumbest villains, I think, is Kuja in Final Fantasy IX, because it's like, he's an alien, and he's beautiful, and wears, like, the coolest bikini, but, like, the world just doesn't make any sense, and it's weird.
And well, it removes you from the experience, because you're trying to, you know, put away your... the fact that this is an unreal world. You're trying to put away the logical part of your brain to try and dive into that world, and so they set these logical standards within the game, and then they do something completely like, what... And then it pulls you out of the narrative even more.
Yeah.
I also, this is me personally, but I always liked villains where you are given a little bit more of their psychology, and it's not that you sympathize with them or support them, but you kind of understand. Like, we were talking earlier about Batman villains. Like, I love Two-Face and I love Clayface, because I feel like they both have really cool backstories, and they were both kind of like normal people who, through a series of unfortunate circumstances, got really twisted. And I find that a lot more interesting than, like, some people have mentioned they really like Gigas or Gygas. Some people like the Lucavi in Final Fantasy Tactics. I find that to be, like, the biggest, laziest cop-out when it's like, oh, you're fighting God. Oh, good job. And that's not interesting to me at all, because what is God? What is the character there? Why do you hate or love or care?
Yeah, no, I agree, and actually that kind of gets under, because we were talking about Batman, and one of my favorite guys is, like, a Ra's al Ghul, because he's so, like, menacing, he has, like, this huge plan, but yet he still plays to, like, these respectful rules of engagement, like, he won't hurt Batman when he's down, and I really like that aspect to him, but it gets me thinking more towards what I really like about villains overall, and, you know, they got to get under your skin. I like that when they're clever enough to fight on, and they continue on, but a lot of the bad guys... Oh, man, I just lost my train of thought. Dang it, I had something so good. All right, well, Phil, what do you think? Good villains, bad villains?
A good villain is like a villain you care, almost. Not like you care about them, like you're saying, or sympathize with them.
Oh, right.
But you just care, like, if they're there, you notice, and, like...
You're
if,
interested.
You're, yeah. You have to have some reason to be afraid of them.
Yeah, like Samus X freaks you out.
Yeah,
anytime. You want to avoid Samus X, and, like, that's a good...
And the game stresses that to you at all costs. Yeah. Just run.
Mm-hmm.
And when every time else in the game, it's kill what you see. And that's what I remembered. I forgot. Is I like the villain who was once a good guy. That is my favorite kind of villain. So Arthas is a great example of for the light, and he's turned and he becomes evil, and now he's like the Lich King, and he destroys...
Now he's not the Lich King anymore.
It's because he killed.
Did Arthas die officially, Matt? Yeah, he's dead. He dead.
He
got God.
So yeah, I like the turned the good guy turned to evil sort of bad guys, which I wish I had thought of before we had the big conversation, so I could have brought some up from various games that I really like. But I just thought of Arthas as a good example. So
there's a thing about, like, villains; they need to have, like, this looming presence that. They just, they're all evil. Like, they embody evil, and you don't want to be a part of that.
Really?
Like, well, with sin, like, it's just this huge evil in the world, and
but
you have to, at some point, you have to defeat that evil. Like, that's the game.
That has high cost, because they're so...
Sin itself wasn't evil, though. It was the little ladybug inside of it, Yu Yevon. That was the thing. Sin was just a manifestation of whatever guardian of a summoner was turned into the grand summon.
Yeah.
I'm up on this.
Finally, I was going to say, like, I still like the bad guys you can sympathize with a little bit, so that you know why they've turned bad. And
like that emo Sephiroth, you feel so bad for him.
No,
like, there's a fine line. Like, it gets to the point where it's over the top and it's stupid.
I remembered a really good one: Final Fantasy Tactics, Delita.
Oh,
his whole story, because he's your buddy and your friends, and you learn about why, and he just goes the whole other direction.
You learn
and
about how poverty crushes people, and that's a lesson more people need to learn.
Right, and it's kind of like
great
this
reference.
Rogue like agent where he's for good or for bad or for himself. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is he's a really good example. So let's go in here and name off some of the stuff from the forum thread that people liked as their favorite baddies that we can comment on. Pumpkin brings up Kefka for Final Fantasy VI. I haven't played through much Final Fantasy VI. Have you played and beaten it?
I haven't played through beaten. I got through quite
most
a bit of
it.
And
I
know
Liz.
Liz
is probably good. So tell me about him.
Kefka's a good villain. He's very similar to the Joker from the Batman series. Like, that's it's pretty much the gimmick where, like...
Crazy, chaotic evil.
Exactly. You get a little backstory. Like, if you talk to one NPC, they mention that in the kingdom there were experiments to infuse people with magic, and somebody says offhandedly, Kefka was the first person we ever tried magic on, and it drove him crazy. But chances are you don't get that backstory, since you probably don't talk to every NPC. I know I don't. So he's just kind of this guy who is a military dude who dresses in, like, the real flamboyant Amano feathery caped getup, but it works for him because he's so ludicrous. Ludicrous is actually his name.
So that was Final Fantasy VI. Phazon Chaos brings up Skull Kid from Majora's Mask, which I think during our game club I brought up kind of a similar reason why I really liked him, because he's the good turned evil, and then gets redeemed at the end, which is always nice. But
he wasn't even evil. He got, like, taken for a ride by Majora's Mask.
But, like, the but the kind of evil that he does, like, it's, they take what is the worst parts of Skull Kid, so the playing pranks and jokes, and then like to the nth degree, and I think that's a really cool mechanic for making a bad guy, like, because it really can relate to each person more, because everyone knows there's some darkness there within you, and that's what it takes. Like, the Majora's Mask just magnified that to the end.
Yeah.
So, we also have Polaris 12 brings up GLaDOS, the boss from the end Portal, or for Portal. That's a really good one, too, because they establish it throughout the whole game. You're playing, and there's the voice talking to you all the time, and saying these funny things, so you get this kind of attachment to him. And then they turn the tides on you, and it becomes this big enemy, and there's all this weird, like, subversive things it's trying to say to you, but still in that, like, computerized voice, and it has a pretty fight. And, I mean, they have their own theme song. I mean, come on. Any bad guy has his own theme song. It's pretty awesome. So, I played the Portal. I'm looking forward to the second one you played.
Oh, yeah, I played
the Portal. Liz, have you?
Yeah, it is on Mac. I didn't so much like GLaDOS as I liked the four little balls you had to throw in the incinerator at the end that were, like, the four aspects of her personality. Loved them. Like, one, how it just is giving out a cake recipe that if you stand around gets progressively more screwed up. Like, there's tar in it, there's wood shavings, there's rat poison. I went and downloaded all the sound files from it once. It's all of those four globes are really funny.
Yeah, Phil was saying about Portal 2... I haven't looked at anything.
Oh, they're going to do a lot more with those balls, with the, like, intense motions. Like, there's the anger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, that's going to be a huge part of Portal 2.
Yeah. There's the angry one, the inquisitive one, I think it was kind of like the sort of GLaDOS personality one, and then the cake one.
Yeah.
So, moving on, Butsukoi makes a post here about how Bowser is actually one of his favorite villains. And I was making fun of Bowser earlier, but... He brings up the point is that the comedic relief that he provides, that he's not kind of like every other villain. You know, he is a little bit of a softy sometimes. He's got a lot of different facets to his personality.
He's got kids, man.
Yeah,
he's got kids.
He's got to get paid.
He's got a life. He knows what's happening.
And he really does.
Find a mom for him.
He has a really fun character. Like he is.
Way.
It's pretty entertaining. Like in all the games, like Mario RPG, the different Paper Marios. He's been very entertaining. In the one I've just been playing, the Mario Luigi Inside Story, where you're like inside Bowser, and just the funny things he says. I definitely can agree. Any sort of a villain who can do the comedic relief well is very memorable. So that actually brings up another one that I think, you know, Dax Glax, and I was actually going to bring up, which is Fawful, which is from Mario Luigi Inside Story.
I haven't played that.
The reason it's hilarious is because, you know, the game's made in Japanese, and they translated it, obviously, to, you know, Nintendo's great at their translations, but they purposefully made it translated for just him, this really bad English. So he speaks in all these kind of Englishy tones, and like you're like, you read it, and it's from someone who has a lot of familiarity with like reading stuff that has been translated poorly, and they plot all the really funny stuff that happens there, and that is his dialogue.
That's funny.
Hilarious stuff.
I like that.
So I agree. He's a really funny guy, and he has this big plan of how he's going to take it over, and they really do a good job of animating how if someone actually spoke English was their way, like how they'd actually talk, like big face, like kind of talking. It's really funny. So they do a good job with that. Another one from the forum thread. Well, we got to talk about Raw Power brings up Pokey. Liz, you were saying, you know, Gigas or Gigas or whatever you want to call him is not so much the best bad guy in that game to you.
No, he's a dumb bad guy because he falls under the whole Final Fantasy Japanese RPG cliche where it's like, yeah, this force where it's like, I don't care about this force at all. It's just like the embodiment of evil does not interest me at all because there's no effort there to me. It's lazy.
It's a cop-out.
Like, Gigas is cool because the boss fight is cool. The music is neat. Him slowly deteriorating as you pray is very cool. And his minions are cool. But as a big ball of gas, he doesn't seem capable of having such interesting minions and, like, commanding them. So that's why you have somebody like Pokey as a lieutenant or whatever, and Pokey is much more interesting because he fits within the confines of that world. He's your fat neighbor.
Right, he's that kid that everyone has that kid in their life who's kind of annoying, maybe a bully, kind of a jerk. So there's that emotional tie, nostalgia tie for all your people playing it. And then he just keeps poking his head out throughout the game, comes into play, and then the best part, or not the best, or the worst part, you just want to kill him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he escapes at the end of the game, and he gets away. So that's always good. Gold Bronco brings up Booster from Super Mario RPG, which kind of reminds me of Fawful. He's that totem pole face looking guy.
Yeah.
He's goofy.
He has a train he rides around the house.
He's got his own, like, he's got this perverted sense of mind that he's made his own tower that's just weird and, like, who would want
a doll collection.
And he makes his little, what do they call it?
I would love them to do, like, an E Insider on Booster. Like, what made him the way he is?
Well, but, like, what are the Sniffits or whatever they're called? And
yeah,
the whole,
Sniffits.
Like, the whole little sequence you do with, like, the dolls, and they have to do the hiding behind the
curtains.
Then how the boss fight with the cake, where you fight him and the cake comes alive. Like, that's just a great sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's just really funny and very memorable. He had a really good, unique character, and he didn't come off as, like, because if you do crazy, wacky, you can do it in a way that's really annoying. His was more charming and funny than it was
because they didn't overuse it. If he had been the main villain, he would have been dumb as hell. But
yeah,
he
got real,
just like an arc villain.
Fast. Let's see. I think the last one I was going to bring up from the forum thread, Kevin talks about a lot of different guys, but from Half-Life 2, the G-Man, or just from Half-Life.
Yeah.
And I just because he kind of goes along our original theme of the mysterious bad guy that you don't know anything about. During Half-Life, you just see him walking by, kind of like how Samus X will just appear.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just be off in the corner, you know, trying to run out to see where he's going. And by the time you look, you see him like turn a corner and he's gone.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's like an older dude, kind of like a Hugh Laurie-ish guy, like real hollow cheeks, the green eyes, like real creepy. Yeah, okay.
Classic.
He is, and he just has a really good mysterious what's that about vibe, and for half you the whole time we're like, how is he pulling all these strings, how is he not being hurt by all these things happening?
He makes for some good animated GIFs too. I know on SA I've seen him staring in the window of lots of inappropriate things.
Oh, no. Oh, good times. All right, well, I think we'll wrap it up there. That was a good discussion, guys. Mm-hmm. So we'll cut it here, put in some music real quick, and we'll close out the show. Let's close out the show. Thank Phil for being here because you're gonna drive back home right now. So thanks for hanging out this morning. It was good having you on. Thank Liz for fighting through her post lunch coma.
Do you wanna are we recording right now? Or are we just talking about? Oh, we are
recording for real. Sure.
Do you wanna do the ways to contact us stuff? Because my stomach is like a little weird, and I think like I don't have the brass to go through the litany like I usually do.
I can hammer through this real quick.
Thank you.
Ways to contact us, and we really do love it when people do, because like I said, we just got an email to our podcast at fangamer.com. We really appreciate that. Always, we appreciate iTunes reviews. I think we've got a couple more up there. I think one of them, those was an inside job. I think Jen did a review on there, because I read it. I'm like, nice. This sounds like Jen.
Yeah. Am I allowed to review a podcast I'm in? Like, I mean, my account isn't tied to it, so how would they know? But
I think the fact that you have to ask is probably already a really good indication of that. But, you know, I think you can counterman the ones where they're talking about you and Falk. You're allowed to do your own in that case. So,
as long as I say it's me, like, this is the best podcast I've ever done.
This is the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good times. The Starman.net forums, we can be found there in the Fangamer forum. Our store is fangamer.net and our blog is fangamer.com. And we do a lot of updates to the Fangamer blog these days, so definitely you can subscribe to it via RSS feed. We suggest you do. Vimeo, where you can get our old episodes of Office Cam and CT FanFest playthroughs. If you missed a night, we post on Vimeo. Our username is Fangamer. You can search for that. Or user number 2303033 for track at home.
Such a high YouTube power level.
YouTube, our username is FangamerNet. Flickr, our username is still Readman, but it'll display if you add us as a contact on Flickr or fangamer.com.
Mm-hmm.
Office Camp on Fridays, and CT FanFest is every, let's see here, Friday, Saturday. We don't do one Sunday, do we? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
For CT FanFest? The days we skip are Mondays and Thursdays.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
Monday, there we go. Tuesday, which is Wednesday, first, Thursday, Friday.
Because I'm the one who made up that schedule.
Oh.
But yeah, the CT FanFest is being broadcast on our Ustream channel, ustream.tv/channel/fangamer. It starts at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. So check that out. Office Cam is still Fridays. It starts at 5:30. It's being cut a little short due to FanFest. My show is going to be next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So after Office Cam, it's going to be awesome. Even though apparently the part of the game we're going to be playing is not, it will still be a good time.
Death Peak's okay. It's just sucks.
Facebook, run by Charlie. Our username on that is Fangamer. It's Facebook.com/Fangamer. Twitter.com/Fangamer that Liz runs. Go ahead and follow us on there for updates on when the new plushies will come out. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/Aticron, A-T-I-C-R-O-N. I don't think you use the Twitter. Liz doesn't use hers except for the work one.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a personal question for me on it, I'll probably answer it.
Yeah.
I put the Ryan tag next to it. Screw
yeah.
you, old man.
I think that's the, that's it. That's how everyone get a hold of us. So thanks for joining us on this show. That was episode 30. Wow, we've done a lot of shows. So
31
will be up next week. And let's close out the show. Good night, everyone.
Good night.